RJ, the biggest hurdle I think agents have with this industry is there's really truly no structure. And without structure, you have chaos. And with chaos, you get nothing done.
Welcome to Real Estate Agent Superstars. I'm your host, RJ Baxter with ClearPath Home Loans. My guest this week is Paul Whitmer with Compass Real Estate in Denver, Colorado. Paul's going to share with us his journey in the real estate business. We had an awesome discussion on this week's episode, so I hope you enjoy it. Let's get into the episode. How are you doing today, Paul? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing awesome. So, yeah, thanks for taking the time for being on. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy. You're a successful agent. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started in this crazy business?
Wow. It's been quite the journey, no doubt. So accidentally, to be honest with you, I was working
like
at
a lot of us. Like so many of us, accidentally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was looking for a new sales line of work. What I was doing, I had topped out. There was no room for growth. And my agent that helped me buy a little condo that I had at the time was saying, dude, you'd be really good at real estate. And I was thinking, I don't know, you know? So anyway, I thought, well, why not? Let's just look into it. I'll sign up for the courses and see what we see and stuff. And well, COVID hit and I'm like, oh, got all this time to study. So it was a blessing in disguise for me. You know, Passed the test the first time around. And before you know it, I was in an industry I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. And that's when I really began. I aligned with this small agency in Lakewood, and they actually like saw me. You know, I was, believe it or not, with three other agencies before that trying to find my way. And, you know, just did what I did and realized that once you get that wheel turning, I'm slipping into year four now. It's, you know, you realize it is a career that demands a lot. It is not for the faint of heart. And yet in the same token, it's wildly rewarding, not just compensation wise, but just the connections you make, the interactions, amazing people you align with. And to be honest with you, majority of my clients, I would consider, you know, friends now, and they,
So nice.
Yeah.
So what have you done to stay consistent through this time? I mean, it was so crazy when you entered the business.
Oh.
Now it's the complete opposite.
Well, you know, I've been around just a little bit, so I am not a millennial. And I just realized change is constant. Again, I had the luxury of aligning with a smaller agency that could pivot and did really, really, really an amazing job during COVID. We were one of the few agencies that even did open houses, but we did it all right. That actually set the groundwork for me to just realize that what's happening or what's working today will not work in a couple of months. So you need to be very forward thinking and maintain connections, contacts with your sphere of influence and anyone you flip and know. Everyone loves talking about real estate. So it's an easy conversation to have. It's just having the confidence to just interact and speak up.
Yeah, for sure. So continuing to have those conversations, even though the market's different.
Oh, absolutely. The market's always going to be different. That's the cool thing about it. And that's the exciting thing about it. We don't know what it's going to be like in a couple of months from now, and that's okay.
Yeah. Now you have an interesting background. You were in the military for a long time, right?
I was.
What branch were you in?
Air Force.
Air Force. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
And how long were you in the military?
I was in for 8.5.
8.5.
So okay. I wouldn't necessarily call that a long time, but it was long enough to grow up, see the world, and then realize, I think I need to move on.
Gotcha. But you had some experiences when you were in the military. You were telling me you live in some other countries.
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. I'm 18 years old, living in Holland, you know, traveling to Germany, then getting reassigned to Okinawa, Japan, and going all over the world. I mean, that was amazing, especially I was raised in a lower middle class family. We didn't do a lot, you know, so to have that ability to see the world, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, no doubt. What kinds of things did you learn from that experience?
Oh my gosh, that this world is big and America is not the only place, you know, that exists. It was humbling, I think, you know, realizing that different cultures, different mindsets, and that's all okay.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Did you take things from those other cultures that were valuable for you as you, you know, got older and got into your post-military working life?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm sure I integrated things from it. Let me think. Well, like living in Holland and even Okinawa, Japan, I realized that less is more. I don't need a huge place for me. You know, in Holland, my friend and I, we lived in, I swear to God, it might have been like a 400 square foot apartment, you know, with a kitchen this big. But it taught me that more isn't always better.
Yeah, for sure. Now, are you from Colorado originally?
No, sir. My family's out here now, so I am trying to set up roots. I mean, with all the moving I've done in my life, I know how to move. I mean, I can get you moved out of your house in a week, maybe even a day. Staying put, now that's the tricky part.
Right. How long have you been in Colorado now?
Oh, gosh. Going on 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Love it.
Where did you grow up?
California.
Okay. You're one of those people.
Well, now here's the deal. So my dad was climbing the corporate ladder. So I was born and raised born in San Francisco, and then we kept moving up north. I personally belong down south, but, you know, so I was misplaced from the day, you know, day one. Even though San Francisco was cool, I wanted to be down south.
Okay. So what is it that brought you to Colorado then in the first place? Is it your family was here or did they follow you?
Ooh, that's a loaded question and I'm going to keep it as short as possible. Life has a way of throwing curveballs at you that you just need to, accept and pivot. And I had to pivot hard. So life literally fell apart at 52. And I'm a firm believer in only moving forward, never going back. So I was in Chicago when the relationship, the family just disintegrated, I should say. And I was left with the question, like, what do I want to do with this latter part of my life? You know, 52, you're beyond middle age, you know, and it was, what do I do? So my brother was really adamant about Colorado being so active and just so me. He's like, you really need to think about moving out here and, you know, setting up shop. So I did.
Nice. Yeah.
Do not regret it.
So you've been in real estate the whole time you've been in real estate, you've been here in Colorado.
Yes.
For someone else that might be a transplant listening to this, how did you first establish those connections in your sphere? From the real estate perspective to grow your business?
Here's the deal. And younger agents, I love addressing this topic that you just touched on. Everyone knows someone. Mm-hmm. Everyone does. So I don't care if it's the grocery store, the dry cleaners, your hairdresser, all the things that we do, they know people who know people who need help. So really what you do is you lean into all of those resources, family too. Now, here's the deal. I have had more than one family member say that, well, I don't want to work with you because I don't want things getting weird. And lo and behold, they had some bad experiences and they wish they would have. But the point I'm getting at is even they know people who need your support and help. So you just, you just get out there and you do whatever you do, wherever you live, wherever you play, wherever you do your business, you know, wear a name tag. You know, wear a cap with the agency that you're affiliated with. Just do anything to let people know, you know, that you're in the industry. And then casually, not desperately, you know, share information.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard the strategy of intentionally giving out 10 business cards a day? as a marketing strategy?
With that, that's kind of like very ninja, where you send note cards out each day and you touch clients each and every day. What it is, RJ, the biggest hurdle I think agents have with this industry is there's really truly no structure. And without structure, you have chaos. And with chaos, you get nothing done. Those methods that you're describing allow someone to lean into some kind of daily activity, which keeps you sane. Because this job will drive you crazy if you don't have structure, in my opinion.
Same thing with lending. And I think I need help. So tell me what you do. What's your structure?
Well, what I do each day, I have homework. So, I have my little, I'm a paper guy. So I have my notebook. And by the way, this is my motto.
Okay, nice. Love it.
Backwards, or did you see it right side up?
I can see it, and I'll just say what it says in case someone's listening. It says, get shit done.
Yeah. Anyway, I am known as the guy who gets done. So I have my homework each and every day, and I have to get it done. Now, it's not a whole heck of a lot, because if you try to add too much to your day that you have to do each and every day, then it becomes overwhelming, and you're going to rebel, and you won't get it done. And that defeats the purpose of having or developing this loose structure, so to speak. But so I have my list, I have my tasks I have to do, and then I have the things I want to accomplish that day. And when I get done with that, then I can play.
Okay. So how do you decide what gets on your list, your homework list?
Well, that's a good question. The longer I'm in, the bigger this list gets, because there's more things to do. There's more, connections I've made. You know, like a project I'm working on now is supporting this company that I am the real estate agent. So I am supporting their employees. And I'm also developing a, what do you want to call it? Out-of-state investment group, people that are agents that I can align with for when my people do want to invest in different states. So I'm currently working on that and interviewing client agents for that.
Okay. Interesting. So here's another question. You know, you seem like a healthy person, and health is so important, getting sleep and that kind of stuff. I'm curious when you make your list, or how you approach not worrying too much and not letting that obsess you and keep you up at night and that sort of thing.
Oh, now RJ, do not get me wrong. I worry, I stress out, I freak out. I do all of those things like any agent does. But I think the longer you're in it, you just realize you have more to lean back on, more confidence that I may not have been through this, but I know I'll get through this. Or, this feels like something I did maybe a year or so ago. I got this. You realize that you have the resources to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished. So that helps kind of diminish the worry. I like doing my list first thing in the morning when I think the best. You know, I do drink a lot of coffee, so that's like my coffee time before I hit the gym. You are right. Health is paramount in this industry. You've got to take care of yourself. You got to eat right, and you've got to get rest. You just do.
Yeah. I think that people that don't prioritize that are short-sighted. It's like killing the golden goose.
It's a slippery slope into really hating what you do, and you'll probably eventually get out. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I went through a wicked slump. I'm just getting out of it, I guess maybe about like 6 months now, where I allowed myself just to get totally absorbed in this career and really not take care of myself. You know, I was out of shape, which, you know, being a personal trainer for 25 years and my background being health and wellness was like a crime against nature. And that made me feel even worse. So, you know, you're fighting this uphill battle with all these internal demons. How can you be your best for your clients? There's only so much you can do.
How did you pull out of that?
You know what? I did something I never thought I would do. I hired a trainer. Now it's remote. I don't need someone standing over me, but I needed that accountability, and I never, ever thought I would. I'm like, I'm a trainer. I know what to do.
Right.
But there's more to it than just that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have accountability partners in other parts of your life and business? Do you have a business coach or a partner at Compass that?
Yeah. Kind of yes, kind of no. So what I did in my infinite wisdom was I sought out to connect and align with someone who knew more than I. And so what I've done is I've aligned with Kelly Moy here at Compass. So now I'm part of her team. And that is how I'm creating accountability in my work life.
Okay. What kinds of things do they hold you accountable for?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. Kelly has been in the industry forever. Her family is plugged into the industry. I mean, wildly successful, all this good stuff. She is so chill about how she goes about supporting myself and the other team member, in the sense that, yes, we have business plans, but it's super, super simple. We have our weekly meetings. And then after that, it's just, you know, support, like, what do you need? When do you need it? How do you need it? Kind of sort of thing. But she's never judgy. And I think that's pretty cool with someone who's been in the industry for 30 plus years.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the reasons why I wanted you to be on the podcast, and we talked about this off camera, is that you have gone through a few struggles through the years of real estate, and talking a little bit about how you overcame them. So what are a couple of the obstacles that you have had over your real estate career that you've managed to overcome?
Oof, wow. I'm thinking of two that come off the top of my head. One was getting started. So, you know, how I did it was I leaned into everything that COVID allowed us to do. Deferred mortgage, deferred credit card payments. You know, I basically cashed out everything. So I had enough funds for 6 months, which is what I was told agents need to have to get up and running. And dude, that was the scariest 6 months of my life, because when that was gone, I had nothing. And I mean nothing. Yeah. So, you know, not having
to do it.
What's that, sir?
You had to make it happen.
I did. I didn't have a choice. I really, really did not. So, you know, not having commission breath was a challenge, and just realizing, you know, as my agency, the smaller agency in Lakewood that I told you about, kept saying, was trust the system, do your daily duties and trust the system. And, you know, with a lot of hard work and some creative plans that the small agency had, I was able to get that wheel spinning and overcome, you know, that income fear. One other thing that I was presented with, which I never saw coming, was I actually had a suit filed against me.
Oh, what? And I'm sorry?
A suit? A lawsuit?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, huh? I was mortified. Wow. Messed me up beyond belief. And the sad thing about it was an opportunist kind of claim based loosely on something that I said in private remarks, which going forward, I will never say again, but I had to get, you know, multiple insurance company involved in the suit. And it was just a scary time. You know, it really made me question. It's like, what am I doing wrong? And how can I protect me? But also, how can I protect my client? So I changed a lot of my business practices because of that.
So in what way did you change them?
Well, you know, I no longer do pre-listing inspections. I have things in writing, and I really lay out expectations for my people, both listing and buying side. And then I do not state anything anymore that is out of my wheelhouse. It was dealing with rental ability. So I had made a comment in private remarks about properties could rent for so much. Well, they use that against me when they couldn't get the rent for that. And claim.
Wow.
Yeah. God, never do that again. Never.
It's just crazy the kinds of things people will confine to try to sue you for.
Well, I mean, yeah. And at the end of the day, that's our society. It's sad, but it's reality. You know, you do have to be careful. You just do. And we can get sued three ways to Sunday in this career. So you just have to abide by the rules, listen to your managing broker, listen to your team lead, and follow the rules. Compass is really good about having compliance and then education to learn your contracts and stay in your lane.
So tell me more about that specifically.
What do you mean?
How do you stay in your lane, and how do you define what is acceptable to talk about and what is maybe not acceptable or crossing the line?
You know, it's kind of funny. My managing broker says, if you have to ask a question that, then you're probably not competent. You shouldn't be talking about it.
I think after a lawsuit, I'd be questioning everything.
Yeah, let's circle back to that. It was disputed. It was found to be unfounded. So, you know, nothing happened. So everything was cool with the suit,
yeah,
and
yeah,
my insurance. So that was cool. But your point's well taken. So what do I do? If it's, let's say, I'll give some examples. Let's say someone wants me to help them find a property in, you know, Grand Junction. That's out of my jurisdiction. So then I would refer to an agent who does know that area. So that's uh-huh. one example of staying in your lane. Property management, no. It's not my degree. It's not what I have a license in. So I have people now that I then connect them with my clients to address that topic.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's, you know, that reminds me, similar thing in the lending business. People will ask me about contracts.
Mm.
Like, how should we draw up this contract? Or, you know, the buyer might ask me that. Or should we put this in the contract? And you know what? That's where your real estate agent comes in. You need to consult with them. So kind of.
Well, and how I work with my lenders is, you know, I do lean into my lenders to maybe help with the financial aspect of the contract. But your point's well taken. You know, we are a team, you know, the client, myself, lender, and title if we're doing a listing. But again, it's again, staying within our lane, and I promote to my clients, I am not a lender. I know just enough to make me dangerous. But that is your lender's, you know, job to map out all of your options, and we'll process through and I'll dummy it down for you. But if I don't know, I'm going to check with my lender and not give you faulty information.
Yep. Yep. Another example on my side is if there's not a real estate agent involved, like let's say it's a family deal or something like that. And they'll ask me, you know, how do I drop the contract? Well, here's a link to the PDF. You guys handle it. We just need a contract. That's all I can say.
Oh my God. Well, let me tell you a story. So just last year, I learned one of the biggest lessons in my career, and that is never represent yourself ever. Oh my God. I know. I sold my condo and, you know, to move to my step two, you know, so life is getting really super cool. But I made every mistake anyone could make, and I'm an agent, I should know better. I was emotional. I made bad contract decisions. It's like, what am I doing? So never, ever, ever. And I don't care what it costs or how little or whatever, but doing your own, like for sale by owner kind of thing. Oh, no.
Oh, Big mistake. Yeah, I can't imagine doing that. As a homeowner myself, I can't imagine doing that.
Well, it was funny. We get this newsletter from this Compass affiliated journalist, and he was mapping out. There was a study about for sale by owners, and they interviewed them after the process. What they said was, you know, they were reduced to tears. They were so stressed out they would never do it again. They think they lost money. You know, all these things that people forget the value of an agent and what we bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So
totally. Totally. I would love to go back on your first obstacle that you mentioned when you got started and kind of drill into that a little bit more.
Sure.
I'm curious, how long did it take you to get that first transaction?
Here's the deal. I'm a blessed guy. I just am. Turns out that the jewelry store I was working at, there was a coworker who literally reached out to me saying, hey, I got this little condo in Parker. It's not worth much. Would you mind selling it for me? And that was my first transaction. So I'm like, whoa, nice. And that's how things got started. From her, I was able to help another coworker at the jewelry store, helped her buy. She was my second transaction. And then in my condo community, I had I did a mailing. I farmed my complex, which I advise every young agent to do, whether it's door knocking or flyer. And one of the investors reached out to me addressing a letter I had sent and asked me to list his property because, check this out, his agent wouldn't roll out of bed because of the price point of his condo that he would be selling.
No way.
I will.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild? I don't care what price point is. If you're my client, I'm going to represent you. Sorry.
I agree. I'm the same way. Absolutely. I mean, people are people, and it doesn't matter what the dollar amount is.
No, it's a relationship. And if you need me, I'm going to be there. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
But I think that also helps you become successful is people realizing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. That you're coming from a place of caring and wanting to help people. Not, it's not about the commission.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I need money to live, no doubt, but that's not my driving force. My driving force is right. To make a difference and to support people. That's always been my mission in life.
Yeah, totally. You mentioned a process that company you started with had when you started. What was the system they had set up or the ideas they gave you?
Well, you know, it is so funny because I'm interacting with them today because I got to get a 1099 from them. Again, small agencies are probably the best bet for a new agent because they see you. You know what I mean? So yeah. What this agency did was they were spending tons of money on Zillow leads. And because they were doing that and they were doing well, Zillow and them came up with this beta program. So they asked me to be part of that program and I did very well. And because of the agency doing well with that beta program, they then morphed us into the Flex program, which Zillow has now. And once that happened, then it was like floodgates opened. And, you know, there was 1 month, I think I had like 7 closings from Zillow. Now,
wow.
Granted, Zillow, you know, it can be a double-edged sword in the sense that, you know, it's a lot of work. You are on call. And I know that wasn't the format or how I wanted to run my business, but it was what got my business up and running. So,
you know, so it's a good way to start.
It works. It does.
Yeah. So do you still have those people that you helped in your database that you met through Zillow?
God, yeah. I mean, I'm on step 2 and step 3 for some of them.
Nice.
Yeah. And then they refer me out and absolutely. It's what got my business to where it is today. That and also, you know, just having some amazing people in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of processes do you have in place to stay in touch with your clients that you've closed with?
Well, it's dangerous, but I have this Rolodex in my head that never stops. That's one. But, you know, I do have a CRM, so we have tasks. I do have like past sales and we have an amazing platform here. So, you know, it reminds you of like when they come up on their year mark or so. So we have all these systems in place. So if you use it, you got to use it. You know, it keeps you plugged in to your clients.
Right.
And again, remember, all my clients are somehow connected with me. So I am in contact with them for other events. When I do client events, I have them present. Or even they invite me to like Christmas and this, that, and the other, which is super flattering.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, what advice would you have for someone starting out? What would your first month look like if you were starting the business fresh?
Well, first off, it's mindset. If you think this is going to be easy, go work at McDonald's. So it's not going to happen. It's not easy. But if you're committed to the cause, if your true purpose is to serve, then let's get busy. And the first thing I would say is I want to see on a sheet of paper anyone and everyone you know, numbers, emails, and then reach out to them. Again, someone knows someone who knows someone who needs you.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's key. I heard something about there's worksheets you can fill out that say how many phone calls you have to make in a week translates to X number of conversations. Right. Yeah. So it's just a matter of doing the work.
Personally, that's never worked for me. It overwhelms me. You know, breaking it into sense, and I'm like, I'm behind and I'm never getting anywhere and I'm a failure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you got to, you know, another advice is you got to do what works for you. You got to know how you work best. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's going to have a solution. Everyone's going to have, you need this app. You need this program. You need to spend this. You need to farm this. No, 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 no. Know what works best for you.
Yep. I think that's so key.
Yeah. Self-awareness is huge. And accountability. You got to create accountability somehow, some way.
Oh, 100%. That's so important.
Yeah. And even myself, like I said, you know, I didn't need accountability because my degree is in health and wellness. Well, guess what? You do.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting question, and there's a lot of opinions on this, but where do you think this housing market's going?
Oh, wherever she wants to go. I'm telling you, I love how dynamic Mother Market is. She will course correct when she feels ready. All we can do is try to forecast and keep up with her. But it's fascinating. You know, I get asked all the time, you know, when's the best time to sell or when's the best time to buy? And I'm like, when you say it is. I mean, it really is that simple. We pivot accordingly. So where is the market going now? Historically, when we have a new presidential term coming, it's a robust market. So 2025 should be historically very active. What we're anticipating is rates to soften come mid-year, maybe Q3, you know, stimulating activity in the latter part of the year. But again, I'm a huge advocate for Q3, Q4, early Q1 transactions. I just am. So much can go on during that. People are distracted. So as far as the buyer is concerned, we can clean up. As far as listing, we just price it right. It's got to look good, smell good, and be priced right, and we will sell.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that is so key. Looking good and smelling good.
I know it sounds weird, but again, there's nothing. And again, here's another thing too, RJ. Pictures can't lie. Now, I'm a single guy, so I'm on dating apps. So pictures, I swear to God, you know, are just a mess. So there's nothing worse than having a photographer doctor up your listing photos so much that when someone walks in the front door, they're like, oh.
Right.
So your pictures have to be truthful. Call things out. If it's a quirky layout, address it. Call the elephant out in the room.
Right, right. I've also seen though photos that are just horrific, like taken from the agents. Here's the master bathroom, and right in the foreground of the picture is the toilet, and you're like,
No.
Yeah, like,
hey, what I love to do is when they get artsy and they're like taking photographs of like a potted plant.
Yeah, that's the other one.
In the house.
My wife and I were just looking at a listing like that the other day and just laughing. And
yeah.
And speaking of appearances, it said seller to provide X number of dollars to repaint the interior of the house. And every wall in the entire house was a different shade of green. And we're like, why not just spend the money and paint the walls before you list it? Because it looks terrible.
Well, and you know what? That's what I would tell that, you know, a seller is that if you do the things I'm asking you to, and you address it, RJ, painting is key. You got to paint the house. Make it, as I call it, real it or white. So
yeah.
Make it neutral. And if you don't do that, we're going to probably have to sell for here. But if you do what I ask you to do, we probably could be able to sell here. What would you like to do? Now,
that is so key.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you're realistic, then you price it accordingly. But like I said, though, it's got to look good, smell good to get premium pricing. If it's like what you're describing, well, guess what? You're going to get sub-premium pricing. It'll still sell, but we're going to have to market it as like, you know, she needs a little bit of loving kind of thing.
Totally. Yep. I love that approach too, with showing people the options. Here's where if you keep it here, this is what you can sell for. If you do this, you could sell here. And if you do these things, you could sell at a premium price.
Absolutely. I got to share with you one story. We just closed, February this month. So it's an estate sale, and the point of the power of attorney happens to be it's a long story. It's a referral from a referral from a referral. So that's how blessed I am. But anyway, I come in to meet her, didn't know her from Adam. And what I do is I love my job. So I had my contractor follow me in about maybe like a half hour after I arrived. But I get excited, RJ. And I'm looking at the place and I'm like, oh my God, I love this property. He comes in. I'm like, I want this done. Kind of forgetting to include my client who really wasn't my client just yet, but she just sat back and like, she's like, you're just going to take over and get this done, aren't you? I'm like, well, yeah, that's what you hired me for. She's like, well, I technically didn't hire you yet, but I'm gonna. So
yeah,
I love what I do.
That's a great story. That's so cool. Well, it's obvious that you love what you do. And, you know, I think it's inspirational for people to hear the kinds of things you're doing and how you're so consistent and have those disciplines. And I just really appreciate you being on. How can people get a hold of you if they want to find you? Are you on social media?
Everywhere. So, yeah, I mean, you know, do I give you like my cell and email, or will you like put that in on this or something?
Up to you. I'm going to put some stuff in the show notes of this episode for people to refer to, but like if people want to follow you or reach out and have questions.
So I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. So what, you know, Facebook is just Paul Whitmer 35 or something like that. But you know, the best way to do it is just text me. I'm a texter. 773-551-8227. So it's a Chicago number and I'm never going to change it. Ask me.
Okay. You had an interesting, just before we wrap it up, you had an interesting perspective on the Chicago number that it's a conversation starter.
Oh yeah, right? That's exactly.
Because I asked you about it when I called you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it gets a conversation going. It helps build rapport. And quite frankly, I've had this number forever. There's no way in the world I'm going to give that up. Because you got to be accessible. People have to be able to get a hold of you. And fundamentally, we're lazy folks, myself included. If I have to try too hard, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've heard the other perspective that you should have a local number, because if you don't, then it looks like you're not an expert in the area. But I can totally see what you're talking about, having the out-of-state number. That it's just one more thing that to make you interesting. Like, where's this guy from?
Nice. It's kind of nice if you are interesting, but yes, your point's well taken. Yeah. But again, I'm going
to
say
an additional thing to be interesting.
Yeah, there you go. But I'm going to say one thing that I think agents, new agents, struggle with, and that is they will listen to what everyone else says that they ought to do. Again, be your authentic self. Truly the best way to succeed.
Totally. Yeah. Those are wise words.
Well, easier said than done. I realize that. But yeah, it's about self-awareness, and you know you. Lean into that. Have a little faith in who you are. Others will follow. You'll find your tribe. I guarantee it.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, being genuine with who you are, people gravitate to that.
And not everyone will gravitate to you, and that's okay.
That's 100% so true. One person may love working with Paul, and another person may not and like working with someone else.
And that's totally cool.
That's fine. There's so many people out there.
Absolutely. And that's what I do with my career now, too, is if I don't feel a good fit, because remember, it's an interview both ways, and I tell everyone that. I'm interviewing you as you're interviewing me. And if we're not a good fit, I will say something and refer you to someone that I think might be a better fit if it comes to that. But yeah, you can't work with everyone, and it's totally cool because we got to serve them.
Yep, 100%. Well, thank you again, Paul, for being on. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you, RJ.
Well, thank you so much for listening on this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you want more content like this, go to realestateagentsuperstars.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel or on all the podcast platforms. And once again, my name is RJ Baxter with ClearPath Home Loans. If you want to hear more about our real-time referral program where we proactively look for opportunities to send business to our partners, just give me a call. I'm happy to talk to you about that and let you know how exactly we do that. So you guys have a great rest of your day, and thanks again for listening.